Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Reading from Joshua chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. And from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If I were to ask you to name your favorite person in the Bible, I'm sure that most of you would name Jesus. Next on your list might be Peter or Paul or Mary or Moses or David or Mary, the mother of our Lord. I'm quite sure that most of us would not name such relatively obscure people as Boaz or Bildad or Arba the Anakite. Well, lately I've been drawn to a person in God's Word who may not be on your top 10 list of favorite Bible people, but he is a person we should get to know. His name is Caleb, and he was a man of God from whom we can learn much. Now, who was Caleb? His name in the Hebrew means bold, impetuous. It can also mean an animal like a dog. So Caleb was this bold, impetuous, animal-like person with a name dog, if you will. But we know that he was one of the 12 men Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan. And you can read about that in the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. And out of those 12 men that Moses sent, Caleb and Joshua were the only ones who kept their faith in God and took part in the conquest of Canaan. Now, there's some lessons to learn from the dynamic duo of Joshua and Caleb, and today we're going to focus primarily on Caleb, that bold, impetuous dog, if you will. He has some lessons for us. And the first thing that strikes me about Caleb comes not from the book of Joshua, which we're going to look at here in a little bit, but from Numbers 14. There in verse 24, we are told something remarkable. God said about Caleb, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Did you notice that Caleb was described by the Lord himself as having a different spirit. Caleb was certainly different from the 10 spies who went to spy out Canaan. Now, it has been said that people are born as originals, but most of us die as copies. We try to be like other people, and of course, there's nothing wrong with that as long as we're emulating good qualities in other people's lives. But often we try to blend in and pattern our lives after the world and its standards, and it is rare to find someone of a different spirit, someone like Caleb. And how refreshing it can be to find a person who's different from the world, different from others, a person who's not afraid to swim upstream against the flow of popular culture. Being different is not necessarily a bad thing. For myself, I don't want to be like so many other ministers I've met over the years who don't stand for much of anything. I want to be different from those leaders who would lead people astray down the wide road of cultural relativism. Caleb was different, and I find myself drawn to people like that. Call them quirky, call them eccentric, or just plain different from other people. Call them a dog or bold or impetuous. One of the ways Caleb was different is that he was an optimist. When the 12 spies came back from spying out the land of Canaan, most of them were afraid and told Moses that the people dwelling in Canaan were powerful. "We can't attack these people," the spies said. "They're stronger than we are." And the pessimism and fear of those spies was contagious. The whole Israelite community was afflicted with fear and doubt. But not Caleb. You see, he was of a different spirit. And the Old Testament says that he was a man who shared his convictions with the people. That's right, in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15, we are told about Caleb. He shared his convictions with the people of God. He shared his optimism. He shared his faith. Now, 10 of the spies were afraid and doubted. They were pessimistic. But Caleb was optimistic. His eyes were on the Lord, not on his circumstances. He knew that with God's help, the Israelites could conquer Canaan and take the promised land. I think Caleb and the Apostle Paul were of the same spirit. Did you notice what Paul said in Philippians 4:13? "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." You see, if Paul had been like those 10 other spies, he would have said, I can't do hardly anything. But Paul was not a cannot. He was a man who said, "I can do everything." You see, Paul and Caleb, I think, were of the same spirit. They were of a different spirit, an optimistic spirit. And the world and the church need people like that. People who walk by faith rather than by sight. People whose eyes are on the Lord. People who are confident of who they are in the Lord and who the Lord is in them. In other words, people of a different spirit. My friend, you be that person of a different spirit. Don't be like the world around you. Don't be a doubter and a pessimist. Don't be a person of a critical spirit, always looking for what's wrong rather than what's right. Be a Caleb in your generation, in your family, and in your church. So notice today that Caleb was of a different spirit. I notice also in Joshua chapter 14, verse 8, we are told that Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He was all in. Even in his 80s, Caleb was still following the Lord with all his heart. In fact, he was ready to go into battle at age 85. I once read about the great Spanish composer and cellist Pablo Casals. Now, Casals was once asked this question by a reporter. "Mr. Casals, you're 90 years old and the greatest cellist in the world. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day?" The great musician answered, "Because I think I'm making progress." You see, like Caleb, he was moving on. He was pressing forward. Successful people don't sit back like Caleb and Casals. They are ready to press on, to advance. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying success. It sure feels good, and when you've done a good job, and you know it, and others know it, but we don't want to camp there. For Christians, there are always new adventures in the Lord. I once read a study of 200 people, and I was reading about this study, and these 200 folks were people we would call very successful. And it was discovered that all 200 of them had a common denominator. Each one of those people dared to dream big dreams and set goals, and they reached out to achieve those goals. They dreamed big. They were optimistic, not pessimistic. They dreamed big, set the goals, and then they pursued those goals. I want to share with you today that I'm dreaming big. I look out at our church and I see a church of 1,000, 2,000, even more. I see a choir of 50 people, of 75 people, even more. I see a budget of well over $1 million. I see this church more and more on the front lines of ministry here in Jacksonville, Florida. A soul-saving, life-changing church that is profoundly affecting our city for the better, for the cause of Christ. We need to dream big. We need to set these goals as led by the Lord and then go for it. Be all in for the Lord and be of a different spirit as Caleb was. I love this about Caleb. He was 85 years young. How many of you here know that you're never too old to serve the Lord? So dream big. Dream big dreams. And you know, we need old and young alike. We need the wisdom of our older saints and the energy and vitality of our younger saints. We need wisdom and energy, all of God's people coming together, all in for the Lord, and optimistic that we can do all things through Him, Christ, who gives us strength. Caleb was wholeheartedly committed to the Lord and the Lord's cause, and we can learn from that. For as Christians, we are to be completely committed to Christ and His cause, all in. Let's not be like the 10 spies who were full of fear and doubt. Let's not be like Lot's wife who looked back and was ready to turn back and paid the price for her disobedience by becoming a pillar of salt. Let's not be like the Galatians who were easily bewitched and were led astray from the gospel. Instead, let's be like Caleb, bold, impetuous, and even with some characteristics of a dog. And dogs have wonderful characteristics. Their loyalty, their love, their dogged determination. Let's be people of a different spirit, all in for the Lord. And when we are like that, we won't have to gaze upon the promised land from afar. We can enter it. For the Christian, the promised land we read about in the Old Testament is a picture of our abundant and eternal life in Christ. I don't want to miss God's best for me, and I know you don't want to miss God's best for you. So let's each one of us learn from Caleb and ask ourselves, am I a person of a different spirit who is wholeheartedly committed to the Lord, whether I'm 25 or 85? Or am I like that large group of Israelites who died in the wilderness and fell short of reaching their potential, the promised land? Don't be a person of fear and doubt. Be a person of a different spirit who's all in for the Lord. And then watch the mighty wonders of the Lord and watch where He leads you and me. Let's determine to be a Caleb people. Would you say amen? And let us pray. Father, like Caleb of old, we desire to be of a different spirit. We desire to be all in for You, knowing that we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. Lord, may we be world changers, big dreamers, who are ready to pursue the Lord and Your will and Your purpose for Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
In light of the recent tragic violence that the city of Jacksonville has experienced, Dr. Lucky has an inspirational message straight from the book of Psalms for you today.
Long ago, the psalmist David wrote these words, "Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm, I said, 'I'm cut off from your sight,' yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." The recent shootings here in Jacksonville have given rise to many emotions, including shock, sadness, frustration, anger, and even exasperation. Like most cities, Jacksonville is not immune to the violence that has become the new normal in our time. In the aftermath of the mass shooting at Jacksonville Landing, I've heard numerous explanations and not a few proposed solutions for dealing with the wave of violence that has enveloped our city. The same day of the mass shooting at the Landing, I was reading Psalm 31. I read a few verses just a little earlier. And the closing verses of that song that I read leapt off the page and spoke to my heart about our situation here in Jacksonville. Now, when David composed Psalm 31, he was facing a season of intense hardship. He even spoke of dwelling in a city under siege. Does that sound familiar? In his time of great need, David poured out his emotions to the Lord. But rather than simply wring his hands in exasperation, David turned to the Lord in a way that is instructive. He cried out for mercy. He exhorted God's people to love the Lord. He reminded God's people that the Lord preserves those who are true to him. And David urged those who hope in the Lord to be strong and take heart. There is much to learn from the way David dealt with adversity in his day. I believe that God has wonderful plans in store for Jacksonville. But I also know that God's people struggle against unseen but very real evil forces at work in the world. Listen to what Paul the Apostle said to the church at Ephesus long ago. Paul reminded the Ephesians, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." May we not merely wring our hands in exasperation in these trying times. May we recognize that we are dealing with spiritual forces of evil. And may we unite our hands and our hearts in praying for our city, even as we proactively work for good on behalf of Jacksonville, the city in which God has placed us for such a time as this. Let us learn from David of old, who cried out to the Lord for mercy while reminding God's people to be strong and take heart. Have mercy on us, O Lord, and heal our city under siege.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my breastplate, my sword for the fight. Be thou my armor, and be thou my might. Be my soul's shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. I keep victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of mine own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. soul. How I love Jesus, because he first loved me. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing it worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.